This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mets, Braves tickets. I'm an unbelievable box seats. You know, got the airline ticket, the whole thing. He finally agreed to come down, and now, obviously, no dice. So my brother hits me back. He goes, I don't think God wants me to see a Braves-Mets game. But, you know, that's the thing. I was so excited, if nothing else, for that homestand, you know, and just everything else about this season. I mean, well, I presume Soroka. I mean, who would have been your game opening day starter? Soroka?
It's a good question.
Right? I got with Soroka. I would have said Soroka.
You didn't want Freed? You didn't want Freed?
I still think that Freed should have gotten a start in the NLDS. I don't care who I'm arguing with. And, you know, of course, I guess Folty, by being here longer, would be potentially the opening day starter. All those years where Turan kind of got it by default, right, on opening day.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, we didn't even get to the point where we knew what was going to happen for sure. Do we know what's happening for sure at third base, by the way? I mean, I think they got a plan, but do we know for sure?
Well, I mean, based on where he was average-wise, I thought, and again, it was a small sample size. We only had a third of spring training before they had to pull the plug. But Austin Riley had cut down on his strikeouts. The average was up. You know, could have used a few more home runs, but I'm just happy to see him making contact, you know. And Camargo was not doing bad either. So I think you could have made the argument that neither would have been at Gwinnett, and you would have carried both to start the season.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I've said this. I think we're better with both of those guys. But at the end of the day, you want somebody to be, you know, take the front other the forefront and be the guy, and you're hoping that's Austin Riley. More on this coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day, guys. Is we just kind of, you know, hey, we're trying to get you to move for baseball, which should be starting today, but that's not the case right now. Though, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
What he said, brightboxelectrical.com, guys. Go to their website. I posted the video the other day of showing you how our working from home looks like and the great job that they did in a condo with steel studs and even more stuff. Another job home fixing I would never try to tackle. Mounting that sucker on the wall. So whether it's home theater or something as simple as what I had done or generators, go to brightboxelectrical.com.
All right, we got a few things we want you to hear when it comes to the upcoming draft. Joel Klatt talked about Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I said this yesterday. I'm going to tell you guys right now, do not be surprised if you think or Tua ends up having as good a career potentially as a guy like Joe Burrow. And Burrow's going to be the number one overall pick, but I think we forget how good Tua was. Joel Klatt, though, Mike, says Tua is not, you know, as athletic as you might think. And I don't know if people think that that's the hip injury or not. Listen to what he said about Tua Tagovailoa.
Here's the concerning part for me about Tua. It's not necessarily just his hip. It's the fact that, Colin, he's never played a full season healthy, even in college football. All these injuries, to me, have a very similar pattern, and that is the pattern that Tua believes he is more elusive than he actually is. Now, is he very good on his feet? Yes. Is he as elusive as Russell Wilson? Not even close, which is why he gets caught, tackled from behind, and get some of those high ankle sprains and then ultimately that horrific hip fracture that he suffered. So while I think he is a great player, I've got him 5 on my big board, I think he needs to be more Drew Brees than Russell Wilson.
Well, I mean, but that's one of the selling points of Tua is the mobility. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't like what I'm hearing, but I have to agree with some of it because maybe he's not as explosive with the elusiveness, Carl, as maybe we think.
Well, you know who was, and that's Joel Klatt. He was on Colin Cowherd. Joel went on to talk about Joe Burrow, Mike, but here's the thing. And when I was at the SEC championship game, and you were there as well, and watching Joe Burrow all season, he was surprisingly fast. and even faster at times where you thought he might get caught. There was a run in the SEC championship game where he ran for like 25, 30 yards, and no dogs are even coming close to him. And you're going, is he running away from people? Because it kind of seemed that way. You know, most times quarterbacks get chased down. Burrow is surprisingly more athletic, I think, than people think he is. Listen to Joe Klatt.
Joe Burrow reminds me of Joe Montana. When Joe Montana played the game, he played with a smoothness in his feet and a surgical approach mentally attacking the defense that at that point was beyond reproach. He had no peer at that point in the way that he played. Burrow is similar to that. He's so smooth. The basketball background, the absolute competitive nature that you see when he gets hit and bounces back, the surgical nature in which he sees the weaknesses in the structure of the defense, and then he goes out and attacks them. I love Joe Burrow, man.
Yeah, he rushed for 41 yards against Georgia, to Carl's point. The longest was that 17-yard scamper where, you know, he's kind of going down the sideline. Then there's also the fact, Carl, that there was a couple of those big throws where he probably went 25 yards or more sideline to sideline before he threw the ball, right?
Yeah. Joe Klatt, by the way, works for Fox Sports. Here's Joe Burrow because, believe it or not, people are trying to compare him to Tom Brady. And this is the thing. When you start these comparisons and you get in the league and you don't play like those guys – then all of a sudden you're a bust. Here's what Joe Burrow had to say about being compared to Brady.
Your response to that?
Please don't compare me to the best player of all time. All right, let me do my own thing. Don't do that to me, please.
All right. It's high praise, though.
It is, but it's Tom Brady.
I mean, Carl, the guy threw for 5,600 yards in college, 60 touchdowns, only 6 picks. And a year ago, he looked like he was still just going to be a regular guy, to be honest with you, with LSU. So whether you want to say, well, he's no better than what Haskins did at Ohio State in one full season. No, I mean, what he was doing was unbelievable. And he was doing it against really good defenses in the SEC West. We talked about he rushed for 58 yards in the championship game against Clemson, throws for 463. This guy rushed for 368 yards, by the way. You know, I mean, this guy's, to me, he's the total package. And I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. The only thing that will screw this guy up is what the Bengals surround him with. They went with some minor moves in free agency. To me, it just sucks he's got to go to the worst organization in the NFL.
It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I have no expectations for Jacob Eason. You know, we've not even really talked a lot about him because Burrow's going to be at the top of this draft class. We've talked a lot about Tua because people think he's a top 5 pick, and I do too. But, you know, you add in the other 3 quarterbacks to include Jake Fromm, Mike, at some point. And that includes, you know, all the guys we've been talking about, you know, Love and Herbert. This is going to be an interesting class because this could be a class 3, 4, 5 years from now that all these guys are playing somewhere. And we go, man, that 20 class was quarterback loaded. And if these guys are anything close to what we think they can be. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out, man. I can't wait for the draft. And, again, we said this yesterday. The NFL has not moved the draft. There were talks about, you know, GMs wanting to, but that's not going to happen. It is still April 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Look, all these guys are going to have adjustments to make. You know, everyone talks about the speed of the NFL, but if you're playing against SEC West defenses, that's about as close as you're going to get in the college atmosphere. And we talked about what Venables threw at him in that championship game. I mean, he took shots, Carl. We didn't. Man, there was a period where we didn't know he was going to make it to the first half. You know, I mean, so I love the physical aspect of his game. I mean, you know, in the NFL, if you don't put pieces around him, he's going to be screwed. I just don't like that. That's why I would love to see him kind of find a way to pull the John Elway or the Eli Manning. It's just as a football fan and not go there. But I don't think that's going to be the case. It's going to be the Bengals.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We talk dogs and college football each and every day. All right, we had on Dennis Dodd earlier talking about the possibility of how would it look with no college football, because he laid out a couple of scenarios, and we'll get a chance to hear, you will get a chance to hear from that that interview a little bit later on. But Mike, some of the bigger games on the schedule this year, there's none bigger, and here's the irony, guys. Georgia, as usual, is involved in about 2 or 3 of these games every year. Well, this year's no different. September 19th, and let's just assume everything's normal. You got Georgia at Alabama. The last time these two teams met, obviously, was the 2018 SEC Championship game. It's just this has become the game where you go, can Georgia beat Alabama? Now, it won't be the same this early in the season. But, Mike, it's one of the top games early on that's going to determine a lot for later in the season.
Well, I mean, obviously, Alabama next year, I mean, you don't have Tua. You know, I mean, we've got another Tagovailoa, but I guess he'd have to, in this compressed preseason, have to just ball out if he was going to win that job away. But certainly, Carl, they got a quarterback that stepped up to the plate. I thought Mac Jones did a decent enough job. I thought the bowl win was a nice win for him in that game against Michigan. So it'll be Mac will be the dude. And then, of course, we got an unknown entity, unless you're watching a lot of highlights of Wake Forest football with Jamie Newman and a new offense. So you got the game. And by the way, the game against Virginia, I know they moved on from their upperclassman quarterback, but you know that they still got to take. We haven't even talked about that as a challenge, but they got Virginia at Mercedes-Benz, and then by week three, go to Tuscaloosa for the biggest game of the year.
So you know, Clemson, their toughest game, I think, Mike, at Notre Dame. It's going to be in November. Obviously, Alabama LSU is still a huge matchup. I said this earlier to Dennis Dodd. I think Alabama is the team again in the West. I think last year was an aberration. Their defense will be a lot better, but LSU is not going to be a slouch. And then obviously Texas, Oklahoma, you know, the Red River Shootout is always a big deal in Dallas in October. We're just saying, hey, these are the games you're looking at, and you're going, hey, we got some big college football games, and Georgia's going to be involved in a couple of them. The other big Georgia game, obviously, is Georgia-Florida, Mike, which, you know, Dennis Dodd said he thinks Florida's closer to Georgia than people are giving them credit. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the job that Mullen has done. I mean, like, they're always putting guys in the NFL. We know that. But I think recruiting, everybody's so focused on the job that Kirby and the recruiting has done. Yeah, I think he's finally got his quarterback. You know, I think, you know, guys like Gator fans like Squidbilly might go, I don't know about that. But I think that they've got the talent gap getting closer. Although Georgia, I mean, you continue to blow away everybody in recruiting. So I think some Georgia fans would say Florida's just not there yet, you know, and they're not ready to compete with us. This is kind of like right now you could argue an opposite, you know, where Spurrier and then later on it was Urban Meyer that had the team that, you know, that Georgia couldn't catch up with. So I think Georgia fans feeling pretty good about where they stand, although I don't think you sleep on the Florida Gators. They got too many weapons.
Yeah, I know, man. And then, you know, last year, remember, speaking of Burrow, LSU started their season at Texas, and that kind of put him on the map. He went there and just destroyed the you know, DBU. Texas is at LSU September 12th. So in the month of September, you know, you're looking at Texas, LSU. You got Georgia and Alabama potentially that are playing. Again, we're going on the assumption that the season is going to happen. Ohio State at Oregon. These are all early games in September, Mike. They get you fired up for the college football season. And then, you know, you get into October and obviously – November, you know how big those games get. But even early on September, Wisconsin at Michigan. And we've been saying this. What's Harbaugh going to do? I'm tired of talking about Harbaugh not winning anything.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan got their absolute butts whipped at Camp Randall. I watched that game last year. That's why, you know, looking at some of the, you know, the offensive linemen and who would look good in a Falcon uniform in that, and they were just paving the road against the maize and blue in that one. Oh, by the way, I know you glossed over Texas LSU. You guys gonna have anybody for that game?
Right,
Texas got five
go.
Players in the transfer portal: defensive back, a tackle, a linebacker, and another D tackle. So, you know, some of these guys are fifth year seniors, but I don't know, man. Remember, and by the way, this Tom Herman put it on the record. We thought he'd be a great change of pace for Georgia. I'm glad Georgia never talked to Tom Herman, because I'm still not sold on him.
Me neither, and you're not the only one. LSU, remember, LSU fans were like, we want Tom Herman. And now they're super ecstatic that Ed Orgeron is there. I'm not sold on him either. This is, you know, guys going in the portal. It looks like there is, you know, guys are jumping ship when you have this many players apparently leaving via the portal. But I think if you looked around college football, this is kind of what's going on. I will say this. He's got to win the Big 12. It's been Oklahoma's conference and, you know, Big 12 champion year after year, competing in the college football playoff. If Texas doesn't get it done this year, and I'm going to say this, I've been saying it the last 2 years, I don't know why Tom Herman needs to continue. You know, he came in, he took over a situation where the cupboard wasn't bare, and Mike, he didn't win. And then when he's had his guys, even the last couple of years, beating Georgia was nice in the bowl game. But in the big scheme of things, it meant nothing because they didn't build on it.
And by the way, Pete Thamel, guys, one last nugget for you in the Dog Report in college football, college basketball related. NCAA presidents, they revised the numbers, Carl. It's usually $600 million or more because of basketball. NCAA is going to give out just $225 million in June to Division I members. Obviously, no March Madness, no TV money.
Crazy, man. Wow, that hurts. Hey, he is one of the super agents. His name is Todd France. We will talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. You know, we're always trying to talk to the movers and shakers in the world of sports here on the program. It is Dukes and Bell, live from the Mobile Kia Studios. And one of the guys that is a big mover and shaker is Todd France. I like to use the phrase super agent. He might not like that, but he is. He's a he's got a client list of who's who in the National Football League, guys, and getting Aaron Donald his big deal, DeAndre Hopkins. He helped our man Grady Jarrett here with our Atlanta Falcons, joining us right now on the WaitForward.com hotline. And first and foremost, we've been asking all of our guests this. So, Todd, thanks for giving us some time. I know you've been busy with negotiations, and we'll get into that. But how are you and the family doing? How are you guys holding up during this whole ordeal?
It's good. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's the new normal for the time being, and I'm enjoying actually being home and getting to spend time with the family, and it's great. Although the kids don't quite understand that I'm still working, but I think everybody's dealing with the same thing, so I think everyone's pretty understanding about it.
It is a super agent, Todd France. According to Forbes, Carl, he's negotiated almost $1.5 billion in active NFL contracts.
That's B with a B.
Because he's a B as in baller. Hey, Todd, real quick, explain.
By the way, I hate when they lowball me like that, but that's okay.
I hear you.
I've known Todd for years. I was like, wow, I really should never, ever bought him a drink at the Palm. Todd, the story with DeAndre Hopkins, which, I mean, we knew Bill O'Brien from our experience with George Godsey, who was his OC, but this just seems like a dude making bad decisions who's got too much power. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how did this evolve where Hopkins becomes a Cardinal?
There's a lot of moving parts to things. I mean, and I can tell you in the media, you can't believe everything you hear. Things get taken out of context. Things get blown out of proportion. You know, the team, I can't speak for Coach O'Brien and what they're doing and what their plans are. Obviously, they have a plan, and they're trying to make their team better, and they felt this was a good move for them to move on from DeAndre. And sure, contracts and a new contract was going to be a part of the equation and some sort of stumbling block potentially in if he were to remain a Texan. But at the end of the day, they did what they thought was best for them, and we were involved in the process. It wasn't like a surprise to us, and DeAndre was happy. And at the end of the day, that's really all I care about, is that the player's happy.
Todd France with CAA, guys. That's Creative Artist Agency. It's the number one football agency, I believe. There are a lot of great agents out there that do great work, but Todd's really, you know, excelled and taken his game to the top. Let's talk about the franchise tag, because this is affecting your negotiations with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I believe, Todd, that he's going to reset the marketplace with quarterbacks, and we know Pat Mahomes is, you know, the next to come. But this is what's in front of you right now. And when you see a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo get 5 years, $137 million at 27.5, and he started 7 games, okay, that was prior to the Super Bowl run and everything we saw this last year. He got that deal. You have to think that, you know, a guy like Dak Prescott, who's shown you over the last 4 years what he's made of. Now, I've said this, and I'll say this to you. I don't know if he's worth $35 or $40 million, but it's not up to me. It's what the market dictates, right?
Yeah, you know, I will talk about this for a couple seconds, but I'm not going to get into any detail. I've been really quiet and biting my tongue for about a year plus now, and it's not.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Tell us.
No, I've got to stay consistent. I'm only talking to you guys because of the hometown guys. But yeah, you know, look, there's a lot of moving parts in how these deals come together, and I could talk ad nauseum about all the reasons why Dak should get XYZ, and you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo deal or any of these deals. So I don't want to get into the specifics of it, but yes, it's a situation that is ongoing. We're in communication with the team. Everybody on both sides, I assume, hopes that we can come to some sort of agreement, but it's a process and it's a work in progress, and we'll just see, you know, what happens. We have to, from now until July 15th, to see if a long-term deal can be worked out. And, you know, I hope it can be, and they hope it can be, and, you know, who knows what time will tell.
I want to just follow up real quick. Guys, we're talking with Todd France. Are negotiations with the Cowboys more difficult than what the public perceives them to be? Can you take us into to maybe a little bit of that? Or are all teams different, obviously, but are the Cowboys more difficult than others?
How about I make a deal with you? Maybe if we ever get this deal done this year, next year, whenever,
okay.
I will take you in deeper. But I will tell you that all teams are difficult. I mean, their job is to get the best deal for their organization, to build the best team around whatever player in that negotiation. And our job is to, you know, get the best deal for our player and what we believe is fair for his value. And that's all I'm trying to do. And, you know, where it shakes out, we'll see. At the end of the day, again, my job is to take care of the client, and their job is to take care of the organization, and that, in this case, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I've got other tag guys. I'm working for, you know, Justin Simmons, a safety for the Broncos that's been franchise tagged. We have guys like Bud Dupree with the Steelers that have been franchise tagged. So there's a lot of balls in the air for a lot of different deals that we're working on. And, of course, that's coming after a few intense days of free agency and doing those deals too, which I did a lot of those as well.
It is Todd France, as we say, super agent, a big macha in the sports business as an agent for some of the biggest names in the NFL. Well, let me ask you this. I think this won't get you in trouble. With the new CBA, did you advise your clients if they asked you to sign off on this deal?
God, another tough question. You know, those conversations, I'll say, are private, but I think what you have to understand is you got to make sure your client – I don't think you advise them one way or another necessarily as much as you need to just educate them on the pros and the cons and stuff and understanding what the deal is about. I think that's the biggest thing. I think the guys need to understand what they're even voting for and understanding that if – no deal is perfect. Nobody ever, you know, thinks that every deal is a grand slam, all aspects of the deal. Is it a better deal than we had previously in the CBA? Yes, it is. But the question becomes, what would it take to make it better? And is the union, the 1,900 players, up to task of doing what they need to do to take that path of trying to make it better, whether that be a lockout or whether that be a strike or whatever it may be? And those are the types of questions that guys have to think about. And again, everyone's situation is different, right? A guy who isn't making that much money might think a lot differently on the CBA in terms of how it affects them, whereas maybe a guy who's made 50, 60, 70 million looks at the CBA and the new CBA in a whole different way, as does a guy who's about to retire thinking about, well, what does this mean for me for benefits? So I think everyone's looking at it out of a different telescope, you know, out of a different lens. And I think that's the reason why the vote was as close as it was, because there's just so many different viewpoints and it's hard to get, you know, 1,900 players all on the exact same page looking at it through the same lens. So my job was to educate these guys, which I think I did, and most importantly, to make sure that they participated and actually voted, because as you can see how close it was, every vote did actually count.
Todd, it's easy now for you to call a guy or, you know, somebody say, hey, will you rep me? Because you got a who's who. But how did you sell guys when this first got going? Because when you first got going, guys are like, Todd, who? I mean, you really had to sell them on how you were going to grow them and get them more of what they needed to get, whether it was marketing, endorsement deals. How did you go about that? Because it's easy to see you now and say, hey, look at one of the top agents in the world. But it wasn't always that way.
No, it definitely wasn't. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point, and I feel very fortunate and lucky, and I didn't do it by myself. I mean, whether it's support from my wife or whether it's support from the people in the office and the other agents I work with, I mean, everybody, you know, over time, as I slowly but surely, you know, climbed the ladder in this business, so to speak, everyone had a different role in it. I mean, my parents literally everybody was involved, and so I appreciate all that. But when you're talking about what your quote-unquote pitch is, your pitch evolved. When I had nobody – other agents used to crush me. Oh, this guy has nobody. Now the pitch is, oh, he's got too many guys. It's like you never win. There's always an angle from the competition, which is fine. I don't really worry about the competition. If you give me 30 minutes or an hour to talk about me, I promise you I'm going to talk longer than you allow me to talk or you want me to talk. You'll be literally pushing me out the door, and I'm still going to be talking about me and why I'm a good fit. But I think you got to get the players to feel comfortable with you and to believe in you. And at the end of the day, they're not buying a widget. They're not buying a shirt or a product. They're buying you. You are the product. And they're putting their NFL future, so to speak, in your hands. And you've got to convey why you are the best fit for them and why you make sense and how you can maximize their NFL career, whether it's financially, whether it's on the field, off the field, how you're going to protect them, how you're going to be there for them through the ups and downs. All of those types of things. And sure, marketing comes into play. And again, the business has evolved. I mean, back in the day, there was no social media. Now social media is a huge factor. So, I mean, there's just so many different facets. I definitely can never give the secret sauce away. I will say I don't necessarily have an exact recipe, because what might tick for you is something that doesn't tick for the next guy. Just because you get one player at a certain school, you think, oh, well, I'll get his buddy the next year. Well, that's not going to happen necessarily. Or you get one guy and you think, oh, I'm going to get his roommate next year. Well, for one guy, yeah, you get him because you had his roommate. But the very next guy, you don't get just because you did have his roommate. You just don't know. So you got to always be thinking and being creative and being, you know, thinking outside the box and doing everything you can to put your best foot forward. And at the end of the day, that's just really what I did over and over and over. And my whole motto was, you know, I might not be the smartest, I might not be the brightest, but I no one was going to outwork me. And I think that was, you know, part of the success was just outworking everybody else being more committed and more dedicated. And, you know, you sacrifice stuff when that happens, but, you know, your personal life or whatever. I got married later because I was focused on all these players and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, it worked out. I'm happy where I am with it. And I'm keep grinding and keeping the pedal to the metal.
Hey, you got about a minute left with Todd France, super agent who's got some of the biggest names in the NFL right here on Dukes and Bell. Todd, real quick, because fans talk about it like it's just an easy thing to do. When teams come to players and want you to move the money around in this cap space world, is it as cut and dry, or how much moving parts go behind something like that?
Well, it depends. If it's straight cap restructure, it's really not that complicated. The team's going to tell you how they want to do it, and as long as the player's not like taking a step backwards. I mean, I think most players are willing to do it, and some of the contracts even have conversion clauses in there where they're required to restructure for the team. So no, they're not really complicated. If it's a different situation, like where you're actually doing an extension to lower the number, well then yes, it's just like any negotiation. You're doing an extension, you're adding years, you're trying to figure out what your average should be, what your cash flow should be, what's going to be guaranteed. Is it all going to be guaranteed? Does it become injury only now and then it becomes full later? All those different things are different. So whether it's a straight cap restructure, very simple. If it's an extension to lower the cap, that's a different animal.
By the way, you heard Todd France say he's coming on this show because we're the hometown guys. That's what you get here in the ATL. He is one of the best agents in the world. Todd, seriously, we appreciate it, man. I know it's a busy time for you. You also have Derrick Henry. Are you concerned about the running back market?
No. I think the market is also a little bit dictated by the quality of the player and what he brings to the table and how much the club values him. So Derek's a great guy, great player. So we'll see how that shakes out. And, you know, again, every team values different guys different ways. So, and every player has different expectations. So we'll see where that goes.
Cool, right, Todd.
You gotta promise us this.
Yeah.
You got to promise us this. When you get the deal done with Dak, I want you to come back on and answer that question about the Cowboys. All right.
I think I'm losing. I've lost the connection, I think. I can't hear you guys.
What? I said, when you get the deal done with Dak, you got to come back on and answer that. Oh, okay.
I got a clear connection here.
Especially
nice job, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
It's Todd France, guys, super agent. And again, Carl and I asking some tough questions because, you know, if Todd answers it one way, it's huge news on ProFootballTalk.com. There's an explosive comment, Carl, about the Joneses or this or that. So he's got to watch his step. But, again, always fun to kind of get some insight.
No doubt, man. Coming up, we got more to get to, guys. Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock. But, hey, we got some Yeah Man, No Man on the way. Bo Morgan will join us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell on Radio.com.
Time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like there should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
All right, coming up, Falcon Report at 5 o'clock. Big shout-out and thanks to Todd France for jumping on with this. That's an interview you're not going to hear anywhere else in the country, guys, except right here on Dukes and Bell. All right, Bo Morgan, what's going on with you today at the house, man? Mike's got the Joe Weider gym working. What do you got going on?
Well, I've got the elliptical that I built. I've got a little workout. What do you got? There's one of those little pads you put down when you do push-ups and crunches. I've turned in. I told Mike. Mike was texting me weird pictures, and I texted him back and said, "I've turned into David Pollock. I'm doing push-ups in the break. I don't know what's gotten into me. I'm so house crazy." And you'll get a kick out of this. This part of my pantry that has all my spices and herbs and stuff that I use cooking, right? And I was trying to get everything together, so in the morning when I wake up, everything for my pork butt. Get ready to go to season it. And I literally spent 45 minutes reorganizing that part of my my cabinet for all the spices and herbs.
So you went to season your pork butt, which you're going to put on the grill tomorrow, and you ultimately ended up cleaning out your spices.
That's all I did, yeah. I just spent like 45 minutes doing it. So I was like, well, this is what I've done in quarantine 2020.
Yeah, Mike, has that happened to you? I know you've been cleaning out a lot of stuff. I started doing my office, you know, slowly but surely. I found a book like Paul Byrd's autobiography. I tweeted at him the day And I'm like, look what I found. Wow. You know, this is like 15 years ago. But, you know, you come across crazy stuff. Are you still cleaning or you're done?
No, man, honestly, two-bedroom condo, I think I'm one of those guys, every time I moved, I just threw out half my stuff or I'd buy new furniture and just, you know, hit to reset. So, yeah, man, we got it all out. I posted all the pictures, all the stuff, made room for this gym we put together. By the way, Carl, doing chest and tries because it's always chest day, you know, at my house during the commercial break.
No doubt.
So, I mean, Squid Billy, I'm sorry, I sent a picture to you. I had no shirt on. I wasn't trying to be weird, but... Now, you've got to understand, Carl, we worked with a guy who would literally take his shirt off and be doing, like, push-ups during the commercial breaks. So we're used to this. Pollock used to do that stuff all the time.
There's dedication, and then there's dedication.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Speaking of crazy, you guys remember Al Harrington, the former NBA basketball player? He played for the Pacers back in the day.
Right, right.
Well, Al is in a new business himself. He's gotten into the cannabis business.
Oh.
And Al decided to tell everyone that, hey, man, you know, the weed business is a booming.
You know, out right now, especially when you're stuck in the house with your kids. but, yeah, the challenge is going to be, you know, making sure that, you know, we can keep up with the demand at this point. You know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, sales are going through the roof. Everybody's, you know, either stocking up on their favorite brands. I feel like the Can of Curious is really stepping up out right now, especially when you're stuck in the house with your kids 24 hours a day. So there's so many people that are reaching out to me just like, Al, you think you can send me some edibles or what should I try? You know what I'm saying? So I think that right now, overall, the cannabis business is definitely taking off. And, you know, it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? And,
it's a good thing for guys that are in the cannabis business, Carl. Remember that old public service announcement where the kid is smoking a J in his room and the father rolls in? Goes, where did you get this? Where did you learn this? I learned it from you, Dad. You want to be burning one when your kids are around? I don't know. Edibles probably the way to go.
Did we go into the wrong business, Mike? I mean, he's right. This thing is taking off.
Well, I mean, I think anything that keeps everybody mellow and gets their head right, you know, in stressful times, because I know stressing out your family because you're home, wife's home, kids are home. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the way to go for everyone, but Al apparently is in a boom right now.
Yeah, but you know what? Good for Al. He's taking his NBA money and turned it into weed money now. So, you know, he's doing well for himself. You know, today is opening day. And we've got a two-parter for Yeah Man. Obviously, we've talked about this in length yesterday, and we started it today about my port. But Carl's got something he's throwing on. I don't know if he's ready to tell everybody. I think Mike Conti's got something. But today is opening day, and one of the things that we did last year in this segment was we talked about opening day food. You know, what new items that some of these teams have. And we don't have long because we went on a long with Todd France, and we appreciate Todd coming on, one of the best agents out there. But I'm going to hit a couple real quick, and I just got, you know, you guys can talk amongst yourselves about them. I'm going to start out with something that the Reds are going to be throwing out there, and it's called S'mores Fry Box. They are crispy fries with marshmallows, chocolate syrup, cinnamon graham crackers, and M&M's. So basically, it's dessert fries.
It sounds. Did he say syrup, Mike?
Syrup.
Okay. Yeah, that may be too much. Yeah, it sounds delicious. Again, right now I'm at home. Here's the problem. Under normal circumstances, Mike and I would be salivating over some of this stuff. But being at home and snacking the way we are right now, Mike, I'm full all day.
That's just it. We talked about, was it COVID-19? I think it's COVID-25 for people that have access to treats now, basically the 8 hours you would normally be in your office. I'm with you, man. It's hard keeping it together, my man.
You know, it's funny because you guys talk about that. I got so upset at the beginning of the show. I had some stuff on mine. I couldn't hear stuff, so I started getting frustrated. So I went upstairs to my fridge, and there's a little tin of macaroni and cheese. I heated the whole thing up and downed it like that. I immediately regretted it. But speaking of mac and cheese.
But I'm not eating that. To me, you know, I like a funnel cake, Carl. I mean, because a funnel cake is a fried, you know, kind of thing. But that to me is just too much. And French fries, I don't know about that.
Too much.
What about this? In Chicago, the White Sox, the South Side, they've got a bag of Doritos nacho cheese, chili, and jalapenos.
Ooh. Okay. I heard jalapenos and nachos cheese. You heard me. You had me sold.
Mike, I don't think Mike's down with that.
I'm going to be wearing it. I mean, I got, you know what? Why is a tube steak, Carl, the perfect meal at a ball game? It's easy. It's in your hand, okay? You got, and a hot dog, too. But as far as that's too much stuff. I don't want a knife and fork for things, and I don't want to be sitting there messing it. And I'm going to be wearing it. I'm going to have cheese all over my shirt. It's going to be a hot mess. You know, I'm going to spend half the time in the men's room trying to get the stains out.
Yeah, but Mike, hold on, Mike. Shirt off. You've been doing the chest all day. Just take your shirt off.
You didn't do a shirt on. Wait, now, hold on. Are they selling this at Talladega? Or are we talking about it at U.S. Cellular Field or whatever they're calling Comiskey these days?
Yeah, you sit in the section where the sun's at. You'll be fine. I mean, nobody in Chicago's ever taken their shirt off at a ball game.
Yeah, but nobody you want to see with their shirt off. That's the key.
You know what? I'm going to leave that one alone. All right. Real quick before we get to go, I know we're almost out of time. Milwaukee. Chicken sandwich. The hot chicken topped with cabbage slaw, honey mayo, dill pickles.
What's up?
Honey mayo, cabbage, and what?
Dill pickles.
Cabbage slaw, Carl, because obviously they got the Eastern European connection up in Milwaukee. So I don't know about cabbage slaw, though. I don't know if that does it. I mean, maybe it's delish. I don't know. I'm very simple, Carl. I want meat, cheese, and bacon on the burger. I don't want all the toppings, you know. You take me to a place like Fuddruckers, it's lost on me. I don't need all the stuff, you know. I don't want any vegetables. I want meat, cheese.
Yeah, I kind of with you on this. I mean, it can get sloppy and messy, but that honey mayo sounds delicious,
yeah,
though.
Tasty.
Hey, well, we'll get through the rest of the order tomorrow as we do the great smoking show of 2020, the quarantine smoking show. Don't forget, guys, follow us on Twitter. You know, in the morning we'll be documenting our meat. You can watch me rub down my meat as I prepare it, smoke it, and it's going to be fun. So keep in touch with that. We'll have all that for you tomorrow. As always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance and FixJets.com for more info. Craig, get my opening day music.
That's a good one.
There you go.
That's a good opening day song right there. All right, man, we'll come back. We got our strong arm story of the day on the way. Falcon Report. Two of our newest Falcons spoke to this radio station. You'll hear what they had to say coming up as part of the Falcon Report. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Why is a tube steak perfect? It's easy. It's in your hand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.